Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Canine Connection Podcast. Today, Lori and I are going to do a recap of the most recent regional qualifier. But before we start that, we have something more important that we need to talk about. I need to congratulate Lori on finding a building for her school, which I'm super anytime someone starts a business, I get really super excited because I know that it takes a lot of courage because it's super scary. But I also know that when we do scary things, really good things happen. Really great things don't happen if we're just cruising along in our comfort zone. So I'm super excited. I'm also super excited because obviously I like how Lori teaches through motivation and, you know, supporting the dog and being a good partner. And I'm super excited that she's going to be out there. And I know it took her a while to find the right building, but she did. It's beautiful. I saw it. I was there. I witnessed it. So super excited. So congratulations on your new building.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And
I can't wait.
Sure. So what are you going to be doing there besides your competition?
Yep. So we are going to just carry over all our competition obedience classes, and we're going to be adding some new ones to the schedule. We have a fantastic, well, kind of small, but fantastic rally program starting with Danette Chorney, who we actually had on our podcast, who's an AKC rally judge. She's going to be our instructor, which we're really excited about. And we are going to be adding some pet classes, which we're starting to put together now. So we can offer some classes to the public, which is really nice. I love that we can help people with their household pets and hopefully maybe even try to convince some of them to carry over into some of our competition stuff. Yeah. And we'll be doing events such as seminars and workshops and matches and all sorts of fun stuff like that. So we are very excited. Thank you so much.
I think you might be having somebody I know for a seminar.
Yes.
Me.
Can I say?
Yes.
We are very excited about that. Stay tuned. Stay tuned.
Yeah. So anyway, huge congratulations. I know it'll be successful because Lori works super, super, super hard and you love what you do. And I think that's always the key.
Yeah.
Obviously, we have to work hard, but if you love what you're doing and if you're passionate about it, then to me, there is nothing more rewarding than doing that for a living because then it's not drudgery. It's not like, oh God, just another day. You know, it's just your life is just so much better because you're loving what you do. And I think it comes through. It comes through with the students. And so anyway, super excited.
Thank you.
Start businesses. Very excited. Yeah.
It is exciting. Thank you so much.
Looking forward to celebrating that.
Yeah.
And on the same day, on my way to the regional, I went a day early because we planned to stop by Catalyst Kennels and take a look at a litter. And I asked if I could sort of puppy test them because I just love doing that. And of course, Lori said she didn't want a puppy. But yeah, I might have had some suspicions that might not be the case. So it was an absolutely gorgeous day. Kate, the owner of Catalyst Kennels, brought the puppies to her house. So they'd never been there. Took them out one by one. I don't do formal testing anymore because I've learned over time, you're just looking at behavior, you know, and it's really not that complicated. The important thing is to take them out one by one away from their litter mates in a novel environment. And then we looked at three girls because Lori said, I want to look at the girls. So we looked at the girls and there were some nice girls. And I was like, yeah, they're nice. And then Caitlin snuck out a boy and the boy was on the ground for what?
15 seconds.
And I'm like,
15 seconds. Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, I love him. I love him. And like every minute, I'm like, I love him even more. I love him even more. I picked him up. I'm like, I'm taking him, although I knew I was not because I can't take a puppy now. And the longer we had him out, the more clear it was that he was a super exceptional puppy, which is why Kate pulled him out, even though he was a boy.
Yeah.
Sneaky. And so, yay, I have a nephew now.
Yes, T the nephew. He is. He is amazing. It was such a fun day. I was so happy Pedro was there, except she convinced me to take the puppy. No, I'm kidding. He is a remarkable puppy. He's super smart. And, you know, just threw him into the chaos. Like, why not? We just, you know, roll with all that stuff. And he's actually been really, really good. He integrated into the household really well. And he's like a little old soul. He just plays with the dogs. There's no issues. So, and he's super, super smart, like crazy smart. So he's going
to
be fun.
And he came right to the regional with us.
Yes, he did. Yep. Yep. Like the next day in the car.
That's good. It's good for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to be having Caitlin on in the future. And one of the things I definitely want to talk about with her is, you know, picking puppies and what are we looking for and what is it that we see? Because it was super interesting to me because she and I kind of saw the same things, which makes me feel better. Mm-hmm. But also, like, I said to her, like, what is it? Like, I don't know what that thing is. Like, that puppy hit the ground and I just knew it. And that's not the first time that's happened to me where I see a puppy and I'm like, oh my God, that puppy. So yeah, so it was a super interesting conversation. But I think, you know, I think that we should save it because I think that'll be a really fun episode.
Yeah.
Just kind of getting down in the weeds about, you know, puppies. What are we looking for? What's the right puppy for the right person? Because obviously the puppy you want or I want is not necessarily the same puppy that somebody else wants.
Or should have.
Yes. Because, most people would have returned Zesty.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's, you know, it's a
thing.
But
they only see what they see. They only see, you know. But anyway, yeah. So. And the same day that Lori signed her lease, she got a puppy because that's how we roll.
That's how we roll. It was like one of the best days in my life. It was great.
And then, lots of fun and exciting things. So he got to come along to the regional. So the regional qualifier, this one was in New Hampshire. It's a 3-day event. Dogs compete in 2 classes a day. And then they go by the cumulative score at the end of the weekend and the top 4 teams get an automatic invite to the national championship next year. So it's always has really tough competition, which is super great and fun.
Mm-hmm.
The one in New Hampshire is one of my favorites for several reasons. One of them is that Zaina's breeder who's become my friend, and they always cook me an amazing dinner and we get to hang out. So that's really nice. It's always super pretty up there. Celeste owns the building and goes all out.
Mm-hmm. It's like a cruise ship.
Facility. It's like a cruise ship.
It's crazy.
It's decorated to the nth degree. The ribbons and the prizes are like off the chart.
Mm-hmm.
Food constantly. She's got food cooking and out for everyone.
She makes it so it's a special event. It's a big competition and she really does go out of her way to make it feel that special. It really, you know, you walk in and you just feel the excitement and with all the decorations and she, you know, Celeste and her husband Dave are like hands on the entire weekend, making sure everyone's good and keeping the place rocking and rolling. It's really fun. It's awesome.
Yeah. And it's a lot of work and they do a match the day before. I mean, they really pull out all the stops and it's an enormous amount of work, you know, and they have a raffle. I mean, it's crazy. So we really appreciate it. And I know everyone that competes there does because I hear people always commenting on it. So we appreciate Celeste and all her helpers and her staff and all the volunteers and the judges because it's a gigantic undertaking. And they're long days. They're big classes because it's a qualifier. And so that means their days tend to be longer than at some more local trials. So it's a big deal, but it's super fun. So yeah, so 3 days competing. Lori was there with Ever. I had Zesty and Zaina. Zaina was a really good girl. Zesty, not so much.
He was.
It's actually pretty hilarious. Every time I think about it, and I told the girls I train with and my training partner, because so what did Zesty do? He comes running in on the drop on recall, stares at this piece of masking tape that's on the floor to mark a setup point, and misses the drop, which is beyond hilarious if you knew how I train and where I train and what we do. There is tape on the floor. There are like stuffing from there's stuff around like
no tomorrow.
All the time. And yet he was enamored with the tape.
You came out of the ring.
God.
I was like, oh my God, she's going to kill him.
No.
He looked at the fucking tape.
We stared at it. It was so clear. There was no question what happened. Like none.
None.
So. God. So what did I do? I was so unprepared. I told him the down, but that was kind of silly because that wasn't even really the issue. It wasn't a drop issue.
Yeah,
it wasn't an attention issue, right? A distraction issue. But ultimately, it was really good that that happened because it exposed a hole in my training because clearly I'm putting stuff on the ground. So that's not the hole, right? But where's the hole? Well, the hole is I never really explained to him thoroughly enough in a way that he understood that he cannot interact with that stuff, right? So even on my warm-up, it's fall. There were people are coming in and out. So there were little pieces of leaves like on the floor. He kept thinking like it was a piece of food and he wanted to get it. And I'm like, dude, no, leave that. But the fact that he even thought that it was an option,
right,
shows that I have not done my job well enough. And anyway, so I figured that out. And I realized then that some of the stuff in the ring I had been reading as him being nervous or him being worried or him like overthinking was him just being distracted.
Right.
Like his attention was just split in spite of the fact that, you know, I take him lots of places, et cetera, et cetera. Like, so I worked on that, you know, the next morning, and I knew I was going to blow utility. I worked through it in that ring. And then when I went into the open ring, he was like, it was like it registered fully. And I had like a completely different dog. So in that 2 days, the second and third day, I solved like, with the help of Lori and my friend Lee, because I was like, they're like, dude, he doesn't understand that he's really not supposed to do it. So,
right.
So yeah, you can always take something and you can just, I could have turned it into catastrophe and just lamented the whole weekend that he did that and on and on and on. Or I just turned it into something super, was I thrilled? No, but whatever, what's done is done. I turned it into something super productive that I think will help us significantly moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is a huge plus. That's your take. That's a huge takeaway. Huge takeaway.
Yeah.
You didn't know that he had an automatic in for next year's NOC. Patra's like, I gotta get him qualified. We're like, dude, you're in.
I know. I didn't know that if you win the NOC, you're automatically in the next year. I did not know that.
Yeah, says the person who won it 4 times.
Lori and Lee told me. I was like, yeah. Really? Yeah. Well, I'd still like to, you know, qualify all the classes in Syracuse in a few weeks. But
right. Yeah.
Yeah. It was funny.
I was like, oh God, now there's going to be pressure on Syracuse. And although somebody told me he has enough breed points, which I don't check either. I just don't check these things.
Like, I don't really check it either.
I don't really
yeah.
pay attention.
I mean, I'm sure he does. I'm sure he does. Fine, but still, but, it's that. It yeah. is that. Like, that's how I think that's the same with Ever. She's probably got enough breed points. But it's still like I want to go and I would like to have her qualify in all six classes, you know, 3 days in a row. My thing always goes back to my handling. That's, you know, that's what I'm always, along with my training, I'm constantly trying to be more consistent in my handling, being more confident in my training, which then can kind of like predict my handling. Cause of course I go and I'm, you know, I day one, first class, it's always the freaking first class. And I just can't seem to like handle consistently. It takes me like the first class on the first day to like screw up enough of my handling to come out and be like, what an idiot. Like, you need to freaking handle the way you're supposed to handle Ever. Like, that's always my biggest struggle right now. So of course that did happen my first class, and we qualified, and she was decent, but Ever's not an inherently confident dog. So I need, like, she can't necessarily carry herself if I'm like a dipshit in the ring. Like, she's not that dog. I have to be who she needs me to be in the ring. Like, that is the reality of it, right? Wouldn't you say? Wouldn't you
I
agree
think
with that?
I think she needs it a lot, but you know, I've been thinking about this a fair amount. I think the reality is that all dogs do need us to handle because they're operating in a vacuum.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we walk into a building. Okay. They're dogs. I'm in a building. It's about all they know. Oh, there's dogs and people here. But like, the only reason they know what they're supposed to be doing moment by moment is from our cues, right? And if our cue system changes in any way, which can be the tone of our voice, the pitch of
right.
our voice, our
right.
energy, if we give the same cues, but we're twitchier, or we're faster or slower,
mm-hmm.
that's all information. And that's what's going to confuse them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the more predictable we are,
right.
the more clear it is to them what they're supposed to be doing. So it's super important to be really consistent in training. And then you have to do the exact same thing at a trial because otherwise it's different. And if it's
right.
different, the dog's going to be confused. It's, you know, and yes, maybe some dogs are a little bit better at pushing through than others, but still at the end of the day, sooner, like I find that eventually, like, they start to fall apart, right?
Right.
Like, because
right.
it's a cue system.
Right. And it's unclear. Right.
Yeah. And it's
yeah.
clarity. And dogs
yeah.
want, they need clarity and predictability.
Right. And especially in that environment, you know, I mean, it
yes.
was, you know, it was hard. It was super hard. But I did, with the help of, you know, Petra and my friends, I was able to get on track, and the rest of the weekend went great. She had some really nice classes. She did, you know, she worked her butt off. And then of course I blew it at the end because I put too much pressure on her, but it's okay. Like, that's just, to me, we all have our goals. We all get competitive, but I do, you know I'm still learning. Like, I'm always going to be learning. I'm still fairly new at this sport. Like, so, and I'm not using that as an excuse, but I'm humbled by all the mistakes I make in the moment. And like, when they happen, like the mistake in the last class and open on day three, like, I had this beautiful class. The rest of the weekend had gone really well. I had gotten myself together until I made that mistake. And in that exact moment I made it, I knew I made the mistake. And it was, you know, it was a hard lesson to learn. It was hard. It was upsetting. But my takeaway is, like, I need to be better for my dog. Like, that's always how it's going to be at the end of the day.
Well, and I think that there's, I mean,
We're going to be having Julie Bacon on in a few weeks, who does mental management coaching, and she has a podcast. So we're definitely going to do a deep dive on this. But from experience, it's something that, and I told you this, you know, at the end of the weekend, like, it's something that we have to practice, like, every day. Mm-hmm. We have to do some mental management, right? Because the reality is we're going to be nervous. There's no escaping that. There's going to be pressure. You know, our mind and body does crazy things. So in order to execute in that situation under those conditions, we have to do mental management practice, right? Like, we have to practice that all the time. And I mean, I've done that for years. And I find that because I've been doing it for so long, sometimes I get lazy or sloppy, or I just, like, I forget to do it. I just don't bother, you know, I just, like, I don't know, I just don't do it. And, like, I got there and I felt like my mental game wasn't as, like, as good as it could be. Like, my handling for Zayna especially is kind of super autopilot at this point. I know what I need to do, you know, because we've been together for a while. But at the end of the day, I still wasn't my very best. And it was, and I had said this to you, was because I didn't do my mental management going into it. You know, I just kind of, I let it slide. I don't know. I just didn't think about it, you know? So that was just a reminder to me as well that it's something that needs to be worked on all the time and forever.
Right.
If you want to be at your very best in these, in any event, really, because sure, you can, there's more pressure at a regional theoretically, but you know what? When I was going for my first OCH, or when I was going for my first CD, CDX, UD, whatever, I felt even more stressed out because I didn't have the experience.
Right.
You know, so I think it's super important for everyone. We talk about this all the time and people don't do it, but you know, I saw somebody, I was so bummed out. She didn't have it on tape. So someone, I don't think she'd mind if I mention her name, but I didn't ask, so I'm not gonna. But her dog, so she's in utility. Her dog took the jump and knocked the whole jump down. And as the jump was like kind of clattering down, the dog was like, oh God, oh God, oh God. And she just did an absolutely masterful job of saying to her dog, you're fine. Come on, come on, come on. You're fine. It's okay. Good dog. Got the dog right back on track. Supported the dog 100%. There was not one hint of like annoyance, disappointment, frustration, anything in her face, her tone, nothing. So the dog felt really supported. The dog just, boom, recovered like pretty immediately. She sent it for the go out again, and she wisely did that same jump again. And the dog cleared it. So now she didn't have to worry about potentially having any like future, you know, the dog having like ghosts in its head about like that jump. And I made a point to go talk to her about it afterwards and just tell her, you know, that like, it's just so nice to see that, you know, because nothing's more frustrating to me than when people show their disappointment in the dog to the dog.
Right.
You know, and or leave the dog floundering or whatever the case. Like, and I know people struggle with that in the ring, but it's so important, you know, and for, you have to think about the long term. Like, if that dog had gotten startled and then she was annoyed, that dog could have had a jumping problem for God knows how long.
Right.
You know, or just a confidence problem in the ring.
Yep. Yeah. She was so good. Her response to that was immediate. Like that, to me, I go back to the mental management too. Like she knew exactly how to handle it in that moment to make sure that the dog felt supported. And if she had gone a different direction and reacted a different way, it could have been definitely effective to the dog for sure. It was pretty cool to see.
It was really nice. I was so bummed it wasn't on film. I was like, did anybody film you? She's not. I was like, because it was just, it was really beautiful. It was really nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
What else? There was a dog fight outside the ring.
Yep. Because there was a dog fight in the backside of the building, but it was loud. So, of course, everybody's heads are turning. Yep. And then one of our friends was about to go in the ring. And of course, everybody's adrenaline like kicks up like 80 notches. And because of that, and that's, again, you need to react and respond accordingly so that you don't put that on your dog. Right. So we were sort of helping her and supporting her through that.
Yeah. Like I was like, look, the dog doesn't know anything happened. Just stay cool, calm and collected. Act like nothing happened. Warm your dog up like nothing happened and just move on. Because if you react and go, that's going to travel down to the dog. Right. If we act like nothing happened now. I hate when things like that happen because obviously whoever the dog, I don't know who started it. All I know is both handlers are responsible, right? Because if a dog attacks my dog, I wasn't paying attention.
Right.
Because I am watching like a hawk when I'm with my dog 100% of the time when my dog is out. And if another dog is like 15 feet away and is staring at my dog, I move away. Like I just, if a dog's kind of at the end of a leash or a person's not paying attention, or even if they are paying attention, they're just unconcerned that their dog's squirting over towards my dog. I don't make like this very obvious, like move away from that dog, put myself between the two dogs, if needed, tell the person to move their dog. Because it's my responsibility to keep my dog safe.
Yeah. And surprisingly, at the regional qualifier, where there are experienced handlers everywhere, I mean, it happened. There was a dog fight. I did see that a lot, even just trying to potty my dogs, I'm trying to get through the door and people are looking at the board and they're not paying attention to their dog who's at the end of the leash. Like, that stuff happens at all dog shows, even at the regional,
People have to understand, right? At the end of the day, even though in our minds, they're like our big giant stuffed animals, they're dogs, right? And sometimes, like one time, it was two really experienced people too. I was like, dude, what? Neither one of them's paying attention to their dog. I see it coming. I open my mouth to say something, right? And the one dog was hard staring at the other dog, and it like went towards it. And the border collie was the one that sounded like it started it but it was defending itself.
Yeah.
And then right away, the person with the other dog was like, I said, oh, no, 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 no. I said, first of all, the two of you are ridiculous. Pay attention to your dogs. You should know better. Second of all, your dog went at the border collie.
Right.
The border collie was reacting, not instigating, So anyway, the take home is pay attention, right? It's your job to protect your dog. It's your job to make sure your dog's not being like, I had a dog that had some issues. That was such a good lesson because it taught me to be so careful and so conscientious,
right?
And so aware and alert. And I took that responsibility very, very, very seriously. I was like, if this dog is going to be around other dogs, then I need to do my job. That's on me.
Right.
And even if that means another dog, I know if another dog comes charging up at him, he's going to want to kill it. So guess what? I got to make sure that doesn't happen, right? So I think people, just pay attention, protect your dog, be careful. Everybody should be careful. We have to remember. And if there is, a dog fight or a scuffle or some chaos, whatever, don't go down that rabbit hole,
Right, right.
Stay out of it. Don't get involved in the drama. You know what? Be the anchor for your dog, right? We have to be there for our dog and just be like, it's all right, buddy. Nothing happened. It's all good. I'm here. I got you.
Yeah.
Onward and upward.
Yeah, for sure. What else?
That's it, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I was really happy with Zaina. She was a really good little girl. She tried really hard.
Yeah, she did a great job. She did a great job.
It's exhausting.
And congratulations. Second.
Yeah.
Yay.
It's exhausting. And I think people have to understand that as well. Like, our dogs are not machines. Like Sunday, when Zest is passed out on the couch, you know he's tired.
Right.
That's not how he rolls, right? So, again, I think people, like, get so frustrated with their dogs. Like, I know I'm exhausted. And the dogs are, it's just a lot. So, I think you have to make sure your dog is physically conditioned so that your dog can physically hold up. I think your dog has to be mentally conditioned because it requires an enormous amount of focus to go again and again, day after day after day.
Yeah. It's
really hard. And I think we have to have realistic expectations.
Yep.
For the dog, you know?
Yeah. You know, and it was hard to, I've only been to two qualifiers, regional qualifiers, but these two rings were side by side, sharing a ring gate. So it was distracting, you know?
Yeah, and there's stuff going on outside the ring. And it's busy. There's a practice ring in the middle. There are a lot of people. So there's just a lot of foot traffic, a lot of noise, a lot of ambient noise. Because upstairs, they had rally, but upstairs isn't fully enclosed. So you can hear everything. You can hear them clapping. You can hear them yelling.
Yep.
Calling, you know, whatever. So you hear all that noise. And the back wall.
Oh, yeah. The back wall.
So I forget about this stuff because I've been doing it so long. But my training partner brought it to my attention because he's like, yeah, I think I'm going to have a mural painted on something hanging up. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And then I'm like, so Celeste, oh my God, like her walls have these,
it's mural. It's all murals. It's the whole thing.
But it's like a whole freaking...
The whole thing.
Landscape. It's just...
All the walls are just like painted. It's like
unbelievable.
Yep.
Painted,
yep.
Landscape. Scenes.
Dogs. Hot air balloons. I mean, you name it, it's on the wall. Dogs staring at you as you tend them to the go out.
Yeah. So when you put there were ring gates against the back walls, but there's murals in the back, all different colors and pictures, whatever. So it makes the go out picture challenging. Right. But I mean, me personally, I think all go out pictures are challenging because I think it looks different everywhere. Yeah. But yeah, this one can be a little particularly challenging, but she does have the match the day before.
Yeah. Yep.
So you can work that out. Again, it just shows that it's important for utility to really generalize the go out. Like, I think people just get so stuck on the whole, but the stanchion's there. I'm like, do you see the whole picture? Like, look at what the dog's looking at. And some dogs literally do see those dogs sitting there in the mural and think they're dogs sometimes.
Right. Yeah, it can be weird for some of the
dogs. Or it's just colors, right? Like, there's different colors in the wall that'll draw a dog, like, off center.
Yeah.
Like, I went in the warm-up ring. Zayna went, whoop, right off. No, I don't know where the hell she was going. Was not up the middle.
Well, you know, and that, like, I mean, when we do the matches before the regionals, or even like the matches for any trial that they have a match the night before or the day before, you know, we should talk about that too. Is like some of the stuff that, like, what do we do when we go to those? Like, what are we using that ring time for? Like, so knowing my dog is going to be competing for 3 days and 6 classes total, I'm not going to like train the shit out of her that day. What my goal is to make sure she sees all the go out pictures and all the rings that she's going to be in. I get her into all the corners because one of the rings also had a, I don't know if that was an air conditioning unit hanging over the corner. Like, it was a dark
something hanging up and the corner's really dark.
Yeah. And the corner was really dark. So I make sure I'm looking at all that stuff and making sure my dog gets into the corners, gets up against the gates, gets to the go out. I don't really do articles. You know what I mean? I'm just doing that stuff so that she's been in the ring, she's been in the corner, she sees the go out.
And you're rewarding it all. Like, we're not testing. Yeah. We're not like, can you do it? And then no, I'm like, oh, you can't find the go out. Well, that's kind of not good. So let me help you find the go out.
Right.
So you can know where it is. And then I'm going to reward for getting there.
Yep.
And then same, like you're going to show her the corner, but you're going to reward that so she feels confident going in. Right. I think I might have put Zesty. I knew Zayna wouldn't care. I think I might have put Zesty in a corner just to make sure he would like go in there. No problem. He didn't care. I was like, all right, no, you know, I'm not going to beat a dead horse, but I'm not. That's all I really did. I think I might have done the bra jump because I want to make sure they don't slip.
Yeah,
because I wanted them to get a feel for the flooring because my dogs tend to slip.
Mine too.
Bra jump if it's slippery. So that's it. I think I just did like the bra jump, just a couple things, reward it. I mean, utility, I just split the run with my two dogs. I was just like, do go out. And yeah. I sent Zesty into the corner for a glove. And I was like, I didn't even need to do that with Zayna.
Right, right. Yeah.
But you don't want to be like testing your dog and stress and telling your dog you're wrong and stressing your dog out
right
before you're going to be showing for 3 days, right?
Exactly.
You want your dog to have a really good experience.
Yeah, and be fresh.
Yeah, what you should be doing. And if the go-out wasn't so challenging, sometimes I don't even like to do the match the day before. But
well, yeah, yeah, know. Right.
And with a seasoned dog, sometimes a lot of times I don't need to. I think it depends on the dog. But in any event, you should be rewarding your dog, building their confidence, not testing them, right?
Right. Which, yeah, and that goes on for sure.
Yeah, well, it does, but that's not the most productive use of your time. You want your dog going in confident and relaxed and not stressed out. And that's another thing, you know, like you can't, when you have to show multiple days, if you're putting so much pressure on each day or on each class, right? Like, come on, dog, it needs to be perfect or it needs to be this way. Your dog's going to end up blowing up. Like it's not going to be able to hold up, right? It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah.
So you want to keep your dog confident and relaxed and you want to kind of have a plan, right? Like, because I think when people don't have a plan, I'm doing this webinar right now. Like people say, oh, you know, like what happens when I warm my dog up and I don't have my dog? Well, guess what? More than likely it's because your dog's not ready. You didn't do all your prep work, right? But you should have a plan. Like you should have, you know, kind of, this is what I do. This is, you know, this for this dog. These are the couple things I'm going to warm up and that's it. You don't want to be sitting there warming up every single exercise and stressing your dog out. You want to have a plan, stick to your plan. Maybe you need to adjust it a little bit, but you don't want to start doing anything too crazy because people will do that at these events. They get nervous and they start doing all kinds of crazy things. And all that does is stress the dog out.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I know what I wrote down because I think everybody has this problem because you wrote something about like, you know, you need to be confident in your training. Like, I still have imposter syndrome. Like I told my friend, like on the drive home, I was like, most of the time, if I think about the NOC, like I still can't believe I won. Like, I'm like, I still feel like it was an accident or like, I don't even know how it happened. Like, that's my default.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Right.
I think that's actually not super uncommon.
It's not.
That people don't have faith in their preparation or in their training or in their dog or. And that's what happens to me when I don't do my mental management training. Right. Like. I'm there and there's this weird subconscious part of my brain that's there like thinking you're not good enough. What are you doing? You know, just all these doubts that we're not even consciously aware of if we're not really paying attention.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And I think that it's important for people to understand that everybody kind of has that, right?
Everybody.
Some version of it, regardless of, you know, whatever, how long they've been doing it. We all struggle a little bit with that. And it's just something we have to endlessly work on. So annoying.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's there. You know, I'm sure, you know, it is annoying. It is.
Can't it just go away? Just go away.
Will go away.
Why? I want it to go away.
I think it's also, I do think everybody has it to a degree, but I think that people who are always striving to be better and are wanting to improve, you know, those people are, they do that. That creeps in sometimes for sure.
I know it does with me.
Yeah. Well, Lori and I made a commitment to do our mental management religiously between now and Syracuse. And after.
Yeah.
So you're all welcome to join us.
Yes.
Yes.
You're all welcome to join us, and we can all work on our mental management together every day forever.
Woo. Yeah.
All right. This was good.
Good.
Yeah. So our next one's in what? When is the next one?
It's like in 3 or 4 weeks.
3 or 4 weeks.
Kind of earlier in November. Sometimes it's like a week or so later. I feel like it's a little earlier this week. It's in like 3 or 4 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the Syracuse Regional Qualifier in Syracuse, New York. It'll be the same thing. 3 days, 2 classes a day. They have a match the day before, which I don't think I'm going to because I have to work. So I'm going to ask you to save me crate space.
Of course.
Thanks.
I will be there because my job, because I have the best job in the world. I can just work from my computer.
Yes, you do.
Yay. Yay. All right. So that's it.
Yeah.
Till next time.
Yeah.
Thanks, give everybody.
And post questions and like our page.
All right. We're supposed to be asking. We always forget. We're so bad.
I know.
We're supposed to be asking you to like, if you like the episodes, to like them on Spotify, YouTube, Apple, just because that helps it get to more people. And I know sometimes people send me suggestions and things, but they like email or Facebook message and I'm like, oh God, then I like lose it.
Yeah.
Go to our Canine Connection Podcast Facebook page and post it there just because then it's all in one spot and it's easier for us to find it and keep track of it.
Right.
Because we want to do the episodes you guys request. I just get so much. I get so many emails and texts and messages, and then I lose track of everything, and my brain explodes. And
We need it in one place.
All in one place.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Bye.